Don't forget, we've got our NFL Game of the Week here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This week's game, Chase's Dallas Cowboys, who were just right there, almost 0-2, but they're 1-1. They'll be facing the Seattle Seahawks. That'll be a 3 p.m. kickoff this Sunday. So check out our Game of the Week right here on 102.5 The Game. That'll be a good one. Dallas and Seattle. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Is it the Monday night game, Kansas City and Baltimore? Is that right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Need I say marquee matchup for that one?
I was going to say, if that doesn't get people's attention on Monday night, Chiefs at the Ravens? Hello. There's some really good games, by the way. Packers at the Saints, Cowboys at the Seahawks. There's some big games this week.
It's a good board.
Texans at the Steelers. Are the Texans going to start off 0-3? I don't know. Let's head over to Weston. Let's bring in their football coach at Vanderbilt, Derek Mason, our weekly chat with him. Coach, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good, Darren and Willie, man. It's a fast-moving Tuesday, man. Good to get back on the field, Texas A&M, this week, and ready to go. Let's get it.
How is this feeling right now knowing that you're preparing for an actual game this Saturday? It's got to be good, right?
It's the best. It's the best. You know, everybody in the SEC kicks off this weekend. It's been a long time coming. We're all getting to the same starting line. We all starting from the same spot. So I'm excited. This team's excited. And now it's just time to go do what we do. Play some ball, have some fun, and let's make sure we make it count.
I noticed on Twitter that you're encouraging people to get over to the football stadium. It's not to watch you guys play a game because you're on the road on Saturday. But what are you asking people to do?
Yeah, actually, you know, for students, and just asking students to come over and register to vote. I'm really supporting our student athletes. We have a black student athlete group, over here, like in the stadium. But and so many volunteers, and led by Cam Robinson and Elijah McAllister, two of our players, and they've helped to organize like this event in the stadium from 11 to 6, and it's been well attended. I just came in, so I was a little late, but it's a good turnout. It's a beautiful day. If you haven't registered as a student, you need to come on over.
That's awesome. So they got till what, 6 o'clock tonight? Is that right?
6 p.m. Correct.
All right. So just a little bit less than 5 more hours. Get over. That sounds like a really cool thing. All right, Derek Mason, the time is here. We've been waiting for this day for weeks now since our weekly chat. It is September 22nd.
I had it on my calendar.
It is September 22nd. It is time for you to reveal who in the world you're going to have under center on Saturday.
I've got the possibility of two quarterbacks, man, being rolled out there. Not quite ready to dump it out yet, man, but by the end of the week, it'll be out there. So I'm going to have to call you and tell you as we jump into Friday, man, so you can put it out there. Right now, we've got it down to two. Guys have done a great job. There's a one, there's a two. I feel pretty good about, where we're sitting right now. But it's like anything else. We're hoping, COVID tests and everything else push us in the right direction. But I'm trying to make sure, I lay low, man, because in 2020, things change on the dime.
Well, we have learned that. Coach, I'm here at the restaurant. I've got my bib on. I was waiting for this big meal, and you just delivered a bread, a basket of bread, which is nothing wrong with a basket of bread. I'll eat it. But I was waiting for that big meal and the salad and everything and a baked potato, and I got a basket of bread. I mean, we were so looking forward to this.
I'm sorry. I know. I mean, I look at it right now, and that's really what's happening. I mean, for us, we have gotten it down to two. I feel good about, where we're sitting. But it's like anything else. You sort of knock on wood, and you want to get through testing and have a clear conscience as to where you're going. I'm about 48 hours away from being done with some testing. So with that being said, I'm going to leave it there for you.
Okay. So is this a situation where you've got two young men that have pulled away from the pack, and it's a battle between those two? Is it, I mean, where is it, how you've got it down to this point, where you're looking at two kids and trying to decide one or the other? How's this competition, I guess the best way to put it is, how has this competition played out? Because I know you basically had four, and they're competing through our conversations we've talked to you. To get to this point, how has it been competing for the starting job?
Well, it's been a clear competition, but I thought coming out of or towards the end of last week, we definitely had to make a decision as to where to go and look at, you know, how we were going to invest reps into getting ourselves ready to go play Texas A&M, and we've done that. I mean, there's a one and there's a two. So our guys are just about to work right now, and you know what we want to do is make sure that, you know, the starter is ready and the guy behind him, you know, can operate the system and move us, you know, along if called on, if needed. So we are there now. The starter will try it out there on Saturday, and I'll probably feel a little more comfortable about naming the starter, you know, later in the week. But they know who's starting right now. So for me, it's just about making sure that we can get to the end of the week, feel good about, you know, where our roster is, you know, where we are in terms of testing. And I'm telling you, in 2020, it's been quite different. So I've learned to make sure, man, I've got the facts straight, and I try to get the information for me to be able to put out there, so I don't feel like, you know, I'm giving bad information. So I'd rather get it right than give it to you wrong.
And every team certainly can relate. We just talked to Trent Dilfer on the high school level. He said the first thing he does every morning is check his phone and then go into the whole thing, talking to his team of protocols and going through the regiment there. So it's like that for everybody for sure. Let me ask you, Coach, I saw there was a depth chart out there. One guy I'm curious about is a local kid who I know had a big injury right as he was starting to blossom, and that's Cam Johnson from Brentwood Academy. Give us an update on his progress. I know he's the guy you're probably going to lean on some.
You know, Cam has had a great camp. Cam will be one of our, you know, 2020 captains. He was voted an offensive captain along with Grant Miller. So, you know, kudos to Cam and Grant. But, you know, Cam's been consistent. I mean, he's powerful. He's explosive. He's had a great offseason. He's led. He showed up, you know, every day at camp. I mean, and that's what you look for. You look for those guys, man, who are really glue guys, guys that, you know, fill in gaps. I mean, he can play every position as a wide receiver, and right now he's in a great rhythm. This week is definitely about, you know, executing game plans, but it's also about getting guys comfortable with one another. And you know, Cam has had a really good and consistent camp, and you know, I mean, Cam's going to be a factor target in 2020. So we look forward to watching Cam play on Saturday.
Another guy I'm curious about, because so much attention was paid to Keyshawn Vaughn, rightfully so. And then before that, you had Vaughn and Kari Blassingame. But last year, Jamari Wakefield was noticeable for sure. How is he a fit with this new offense, and how does he look this year?
Jamari Wakefield fits in perfectly for this offense. He can get to the perimeter, you know, with speed. He's physical, you know, in between the tackles. He's got great hands. It's just his time. He's waited his turn. And, you know, I mean, you got, you know, Keon Brooks behind him, Javion Marlowe. You look at where, like we are right now sitting with, you know, Rocco and Mitchell Pryor. We've got some, like, good young backs, but this is Jamari's time. And so, for him, it's been about being focused. It's about, you know, staying healthy. He's done a great job throughout camp of taking care of his body. And, you know, he's sort of flown under the radar a little bit. But when you watch him carry the ball, you know, last year, he made people stand up and notice. Because, again, he is physical. He is fast. And, you know, he broke off some good runs in 2019. But we're looking for a good year from the young man in 2020.
Tell us what you see from Texas A&M in terms of what their strengths are.
When I look at Texas A&M, I believe, as I've had a chance to, you know, scale through film on both sides of the ball, you know, defensively, they've got an extremely experienced back end. And when I look at, you know, their playing experience, when I look at their speed, it's a good group. And their defensive front will be big, physical, and fast. And, I mean, it'll be formidable for us. On the offensive side of the ball, led by Kellen Mond in that offensive line. But they've got returning running backs. I mean, they're a little young at the receiving position, but they've got really good tight ends. So I think this group is going to be balanced in terms of what they do, but it's all led by Kellen Mond. I mean, when you look at his ability to play from the pocket, he's got, you know, big-time arm talent, and he can beat you with his legs, and he's a senior. So he's now been or heading into his third year as a starter. When you look at, you know, his ability to, you know, attack defenses and read coverages, he's in his prime right now. So with a veteran group in front of him, that's what we have to focus on. We've got to focus on making sure we keep him contained and you know, getting downhill in the run game because and they've got veteran guys up front who can move the line of scrimmage.
We're talking to Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, here with us. Hey, Coach, it's Chase. And you brought up Grant Miller earlier being named a captain, but leading that offensive line from the center position, what extra responsibilities is he going to have in this new offense?
Well, other than the quarterback, I mean, he really controls what happens, whether he's, you know, communicating, you know, how we set, you know, protections or, you know, blocking schemes. You know, Grant is now coming to his own. He's waited his turn, and, you know, college football is a junior-senior sport. He played at St. Thomas Aquinas. He knows what winning football looks like. It's just his time. So I feel comfortable with him, you know, leading this group along with Tyler Steen, you know, and Connor Magnon in 2020. These guys are going to have to stand up for us, and they will be playing with some young guys beside them, but I'm glad to have Drew Birchmeier, you know, next to Grant. And Drew's been on the defensive side, but he's a guy who's experienced, who's been in ball games. And I think these guys now in the last four or five practices have really gelled. But the center and the quarterback are the two guys that touch the ball offensively every snap. So there's no guy more important to the quarterback than the center. And, you know, as we start to get into the season, you know, man, Grant's going to have to play a significant role in terms of how this offense goes, you know, with our quarterbacks, because any quarterback lining up under center is going to be new.
Derek, you have a lot of wide receivers on your roster. How many do you anticipate using in the game? Are we going to see a lot of four receiver sets?
You know, Coach Fitz plans on using every weapon that we got. He's made this, you know, production friendly for these guys. He told guys, if you got a skill and you're good with the ball in your hands, you'll get the ball. So I imagine from our tight ends to our running backs to our receivers, we're going to see, you know, a good group or a good number of guys touch the ball in 2020. And that's by design. I mean, he wants to keep, you know, guys hungry. He wants to make sure guys are competing, you know, for opportunities to, you know, to impact the game. And you gotta show it in practice before you can ever do it in games. And, you know, these guys have shown me a lot as we, you know, continue to have to work through, you know, in different rotations as we've gone through fall camp. But now everybody's back. Everybody, you know, is positioned, you know, to play. I told guys we got starters and starters to be. So, you know, if you're a starter and waiting, hey, and if the time comes, you got to get it hot. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see. These guys are having fun now. Coach Fitz continues to get after these guys about making sure, man, that you're the next man up, and that's where we're moving.
You had a couple of freshman DBs and Donovan Kaufman and DeRicky Wright listed on your depth chart. What are some potential situations that we could see those guys in?
I don't think it's about potential situations. You're going to see them. They've earned the right to step out on the field and play. They're two talented, you know, freshmen. Another one, Chase Lloyd. And we'll have a chance to make an impact too. I tell these guys, you know, find your way on the special teams, make an impact on special teams, and you'll find your way, you know, on in the defense, taking defensive snaps. And, you know, all three of those young men have found their way on special teams, and they've earned the right, you know, to play in ball games. So you'll see those guys on Saturday.
Coach, good stuff. Best of luck. We can't wait to see it all play out this weekend, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
We're going to go have some fun. You gentlemen, take care of yourselves. Hopefully you can tune into the game, see the quarterback play. Let's have some fun, and we'll get back at it next week.
There we go. All right.
Like it. Hey, thanks for doing this.
All right. Take care. Anchor down.
That's Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach indeed. They will be down at Texas A&M. 6:30 kickoff Saturday night. I think that is on SEC Network Plus. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
the alternate channel, right? Which I think I get. I'm pretty sure I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Yep, I get that. Because the Tennessee game is on, Tennessee, South Carolina is on SEC Network, and Vandy A&M is on alternate. True? I think that's right.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back. Mitch Light, we'll talk all things SEC and college football with him. He is with The Athletic. We'll do that on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll keep this college football theme rolling right along. The man who's got to have a job where it starts with an A. I don't know what he'll do after The Athletic. Maybe he'll work for Apple. Mitch Light is a college football editor for The Athletic. Previously,
you're on one today.
Athlon. And then he'll probably be at Apple someday after The Athletic. He is on the line with us. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. Darren, I Apple's a great company. I'd probably make a lot of money there, but I don't think I have one skill that would help Apple at all. Like, the only thing I know is to, like, turn off my, you know, restart, shut off my computer and when things don't work. So, but, you know.
Well, how about Applebee's? How about Applebee's? He'll be at Applebee's after The Athletic. Can you do that?
Say, you know, they're not a sponsor of yours, are they? So I don't want to, I don't want to say anything. But no. Thanks, Darren. Just be on.
So we just got off the phone with Derek Mason, and he says he's got the quarterback race down to two. Where do you think this is going at Texas A&M?
I think Ken Fields is going to be a starter. I don't know that. Nobody really knows except those in the program. I mean, this year more than ever, practices are closed. In the past, I went to practice and saw some things, but this year really don't know. I've talked to a few people, and I think Ken Fields has the edge. I was told a couple of weeks ago that if it wasn't Ken Fields, it would be Danny Clark, who's got an interesting story. In fact, I was just on the phone with Ari Wasserman, who's our national recruiting writer at The Athletic, who covered Ohio State for years. Danny Clark was a kid from Columbus who committed to Urban Meyer as a freshman, was just a phenom and really highly rated, and then I don't think developed quite like they thought he would throughout his high school career. And, you know, as recruiting goes, they don't necessarily tell you you don't have a scholarship, but they make it clear that you're probably not going to play there. So he was kind of squeezed out of that recruiting class, and ended up, that was the year they took Tate Martell, who's now transferred to Miami, who just left Miami. And Danny Clark went, signed to Kentucky, did not play. I think he was there at Kentucky for 2 years or left in the middle of his second year, went to junior college, and now is at Vanderbilt. So a little backstory on Clark. Don't know if he'll play, but my guess is Ken Fields would be one and Clark would be two. With Mike Wright, the freshman, the other true freshman, maybe in some packages to run the ball. I think he's more of an athlete right now, not as refined as a passer.
Did you watch any of Miami and Louisville Saturday night on primetime?
I watched some. In fact, you know, my son had two baseball games. With my new job responsibilities, I'm going to be tied to the TV watching games more than even usual, like all day. So that was like my last Saturday before the SEC. So I actually was gone a lot of the day. I got home in the second half, but I saw Miami play UAB, so I have seen a decent amount of Miami this year.
He was playing on Saturday night? Playing night games?
It's big time.
My goodness.
Had games at 1 and 5 in Franklin. And this week, which I will not be able to go, sorry, Gabe, if you're listening, which I'm sure he's not, play at 5 and 7 o'clock. So,
Wow.
Yeah. The big boys. So,
isn't
yeah,
the I gap will, the worst? The big, long gap in between games? Willie definitely can talk about this. The worst is just the big
just
gaps in between.
You're just committed to being at the field for like 9 straight hours.
Yep, that's exactly right. What of the two early games, the two 11 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday, Florida at Ole Miss, Kentucky at Auburn? The Florida Ole Miss game is on ESPN. Kentucky Auburn's on SEC Network. Which one intrigues you the most and why?
Both. I think you know, the Kentucky Auburn games get a lot of buzz. I think there's a lot of people out there that think, hey, Kentucky, you know, no one's really talking about them. Could they finish third in the East? Could they do better? And I think Kentucky's fascinating. We've talked a lot over the years. I think it was after the 2018 season we'd find out if Mark Stoops really had a good breakthrough season and then regress or built himself a program. And I think what we learned last year is that he built himself a program. Even with all the injuries at quarterback, how they were still solid last year, a really good team. So I think there's people who believe that, hey, they've kind of arrived. Not arrived as an SEC East contender, but they've arrived as a program that every year is going to be in that 6-8 win range. And I think the people are looking at that as a potential upset, as am I. I think there's still some quarterback issues there. Terry Wilson will be the quarterback. They're still waiting for word on Joey Gatewood, whether or not he will be cleared. Last I'd heard, they did not know. So I think there's definitely a lot of intrigue there. I think Florida is a team that I'm picking to win the East, even though Georgia has a better overall roster. Big Dan Mullen fan. I think Kyle Trask can have Kyle Trask's an interesting guy. He had the breakthrough game against Kentucky last year, had a really nice season. He's really productive. Dan Mullen always has good quarterbacks, and I don't know how much people subscribe or believe in Pro Football Focus, but really did not. Pro Football Focus's rankings, I think they had him like 48th nationally among quarterbacks last year. A lot of the advanced stats did not favor Kyle Trask. So I'm interested to see, now that he has the job on a full-time basis, what kind of season he'll have. I think Ole Miss, there's a lot of interest there with Lane Kiffin. I love watching them play last year with John Rhys Plumlee and Matt Corral at quarterback. They've got great depth at running back. I don't know how many playmakers they have at wide receiver there. So, in fact, I was having this conversation earlier. Someone asked me, thought that the 13.5 point line was a little too low with Florida favored at Oxford. But I don't think so. I think Lane Kiffin is going to have a really good offense this year.
I see it's now up over 2 touchdowns, 14.5 now. Did you see Coach O on 60 Minutes on Sunday?
I did not. I was watching the NFL game right before that. I meant to watch it, and one of those things, you just got busy doing something. But I saw people tweeting about it, and I saw the clip with his mom, who's maybe the best accent ever there. So I did not see the segment, though.
Okay. Well, okay, with that being said, then what do you make of their game hosting Mike Leach and Mississippi State coming to town? What do you make of that game, the primetime?
Yeah, I like LSU. I'm not as high as LSU. I think, you know, don't have in front of me what their AP ranking is. I think there's an inevitable step back there. You lose so much talent on both sides of the ball. You go from one of the best teams in the history of the sport. You lose two key coaches. And I just don't think there's any way you're as good. I don't care who you are. Now, they've got good talent. They've had some key guys opt out. So Mississippi State's an intriguing team with Mike Leach coming in. KJ Costello, the Stanford quarterback. How's that for a life move from Palo Alto, California, to Starkville, Mississippi? But he's probably going to have a productive season there. So I like LSU at home. But there's an interesting thing about LSU that I hadn't really thought about too much. And our at The Athletic, our LSU writer had a good story about this, that Coach O does not seem to be upset that Dave Aranda's gone. You know, he got the job under kind of strange circumstances where no one really thought he was going to get it or deserved it. Part of his pitch was, I'm going to be the CEO. We've got these big-time coordinators. We're going to keep Dave Aranda. We're going to pay him $2 or $3 million, whatever it is. We're going to bring Joe Brady in. We're going to have all these big-time assistants. Well, I don't think that Ed Orgeron ever necessarily saw eye-to-eye with Aranda on a lot of things, but he had to lean on him because that was part of his pitch to get the job. And their defensive numbers weren't great last year. Now, a lot of that could be because of the offense. And, you know, when you're so good on offense, there's a lot of garbage time defensive numbers there. But Coach O has said some things with Bo Pelini as the coordinator this preseason. He's like, this is the best our defense has looked in years. We're going to attack more and stuff. So there's a lot of like, hey, I'm going to get this done without Dave Aranda. I'm going to get this done without Joe Brady. So that's something to watch for this year.
Talking to Mitch Light, he is one of the college football editors at The Athletic. Mitch, Kellen Mond has now put in his time as a starter in this league. Where do you rate him? You know, if the reference point is, you know, frontline starter, SEC, you know, maybe just shy of a Heisman Trophy kind of candidate. What's his ceiling this year for Texas A&M?
He's pretty high. You know, it's not a great year on paper for quarterbacks in the SEC. Just a lot of turnover. You know, I know Kyle Trask's got a lot of preseason first team recognition, and Mond has too. So I think he's playing for a coach in Jimbo Fisher who always, you know, seemingly gets good quarterback play there. He's been in the system, like you said. He's been around. Now they don't have this. They've had some injuries. They've had some opt outs at wide receiver. One of their top tight ends got hurt. So I think he is a solid top three or four quarterback in the SEC. You kind of phrased it right, Willie. Like, you know, unless they have a special season, he's not going to be a guy. I don't think there's going to be in any Heisman Trophy discussions, but I think I would definitely put him in the top two or three, four in the SEC.
Every team, we just got done talking to Derek Mason. You know, they've got some guys missing. He, you know, he's vague, as he should be. He said, listen, 2020, things can turn. I'm waiting on the results of some tests. He's probably not alone. But it's clear that they're probably not going to have everybody they thought they were going to have. We've been chronicling what's happening at Tennessee. Is there any sense you have, Mitch, of who's been affected the most, you know, in terms of key players that won't be out there on SEC rosters? Or can we have a feel for that yet?
Well, because since we don't have all the data, it's hard to say that. And I've kind of said this to people. You know, I know Vanderbilt's off the radar nationally because expectations are low. But from what I read and look around, you could argue that no team has been hit harder than Vanderbilt because of the concentration at one position, and that being the offensive line. You had an offensive line that was going to be questionable to begin with, and then you lose several potential starters, and that could kind of you know, hurt any chances you have of having an improved offense with a new coordinator coming in. So I no doubt I think Vanderbilt's been hurt. A lot of, you know, aside from the opt-outs, Devin Cochran, who was a three-year starter at left tackle, I don't really know what happened in this situation. He left his grad transfer. He's from Atlanta to go to Georgia Tech. And then just about 2 months ago, I just saw on Twitter, Devin Cochran will not play at Georgia Tech this year. And I didn't really read anything about it. So he's not at Georgia Tech. I don't know I don't think he's playing anywhere. But that's another guy who would have been plugged in there. So I think it's hurt Vanderbilt a lot. And, you know, LSU, no doubt, they got Sheldon back, their defensive lineman. But, you know, losing Jamar Chase, they lost some top-level guys there. If the Pac-12 comes back, Oregon lost two guys in the secondary, and Washington lost its best defensive lineman. So there's been few programs are unscathed, but then you look at someone like Alabama, and I don't know if they've had any opt-outs. So it's some, you know, it's the times we live in. But like as you said, Willie, we're not going to know week to week. You know, it could be in 2 weeks someone's entire offensive line could be wiped out, and if that's the case, then we're not going to have a game.
And you would hope that over time, after the initial adaptation, whatever term you want to use, it was going to, just like it was going to be the case on all college campuses, there was going to be an initial wave. Hopefully you adapt, you change your approach, and the case level goes down. You'd hope this becomes less of a problem as the season progresses and not more, but all things are possible. So with that being said, you know, we may not know sometimes. Some coaches aren't going to reveal what might be going on behind the scenes. So let's put all that aside. Oh, go ahead, Mitch.
Well, here's a scenario that I know some coaches have kind of, you know, talked about privately. Everyone's thankful for college football now. Players didn't think they'd have it. They're all fired up. What happens to some programs that get off to an 0-4 start or 1-4 start? All that discipline, all those guys. So maybe that guy on a Thursday night is going to be a little more willing to leave his football bubble and go out to eat or go to a, you know, a gathering and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the discipline, like, my team's struggling for, you know, I don't need to be, you know. So that's a scenario that I know coaches are worried about. Can they, if the season's not going well, can they keep everyone engaged? Can they keep that discipline that they've had for the past month?
Let's take a look at South Carolina, Tennessee. What do you see there? That looks like a big swing game for both teams.
Yeah, it totally is. And games at South Carolina, South Carolina has some issues. You know, their program that I work with, our South Carolina writer, Josh Kendall, so I've learned, you know, I've always followed them, but I've learned a lot more about them in the past, you know, 2-3 months. And they've got some serious holes. Now, the story of preseason camp was Colin Hill, the grad transfer from Colorado State beating out Ryan Holinsky, and Darren still owes me money, our Starbucks gift card from last year when Holinsky did not start in the opener. I will not forget that, Darren. I know there's a pandemic. I will come find you when this is over, and I want my $25 gift card. But
was it agreed to, $25? Because Darren, I think, has some $25 gift cards, but it's to establishments that are no longer open. It's businesses that have closed over the last 5 to 10 years.
Maybe I should just get cash then. But back to South Carolina. They are lacking some proven playmakers at wide receiver. Jalen Brooks, a transfer from Division II Wingate, just came down this morning that he was not ruled eligible. And they're going to appeal that. He was going to start at wide receiver. They really are lacking. Shai Smith is their only proven wide receiver. They have issues at left tackle. They have an or on the three potential guys at left tackle. They were hoping to shore that up. So I think they have some issues on the offensive line there. Their best running back, a true freshman, Marshawn Lloyd, a four-star kid from Maryland, tore his ACL the second day of practice this year. So they don't really have a difference maker at wide receiver. Now, I think they'll be better coached on offense with Mike Bobo coming in as the offensive coordinator, the former Colorado State head coach, and obviously former Georgia quarterback and coordinator. And defensively, they're good on the defensive line. They're pretty good in the secondary. I think Tennessee's the more talented team, but – you know, the game's at South Carolina. I know we'll figure out how much small crowds matter this year. But I think this is a game that Tennessee can and maybe should win.
We're talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic. He's one of their college football editors. I want to go outside the SEC. I know Notre Dame has canceled some practices. Got to pay attention to what's going on with that. But through two games as a member of the ACC, do you view Notre Dame as a potential college football playoff contender right now?
Not yet. I don't think, Chase. You know, obviously with the Big Ten coming back, that's going to bring some more teams into the mix there. They played two games at home. I think it was the South Florida game. I think that was at home. Yeah. I saw the Duke game. They were pretty good in that game. Not great. That freshman running back, and he's a sophomore, Kyron Williams, has looked really good. They lost, you know, their best wide receiver, Claypool, who's done some good things, I think, for the Steelers already, and then Cole Clement, the tight end. I don't think they have the type of playmakers, the dynamic guys at wide receiver, at least yet, that can really stretch and scare a good defensive team. And I think the ACC is probably better than maybe we thought. North Carolina has looked good so far. We've already talked a little bit about Miami. So I think they're a solid team. But they played two home games. You know, Duke lost at home to Boston College, so that's not like, you know, that was a great win, and South Florida has not been very good. So I'm not really, you know, buying Notre Dame right now.
Yeah, you brought up North Carolina. They've been a team, and I know their game last week got canceled, but watching them and their comeback in week one and what Mack Brown has built over the past year, I'm kind of a believer in them too.
Yeah, and it starts with the quarterback there. You know, that shows you how important the getting it right at that position is. It started with Sam Howell, and Mack Brown came in, and he was a North Carolina kid, and Sam Howell was committed to Florida State, and he flipped him, got him there, and it just started with there. North Carolina is kind of one of those programs that's always had talent, you know, not elite talent, but that's never really been the big issue. So Mack Brown comes in, gets his quarterback, and then he's just started rolling. He's got a really good recruiting class this year. It's been a great year in the state of North Carolina, and they're doing very well in their own state. So they're kind of one of those sleeping giants a little bit in college football, where I think in a few years we could look at, you know, Miami's obviously off to a good start, but the Coastal has been such a mess, so much balance with seven different champions in 7 years. I think in a few years North Carolina might be, you know, emerge and say, hey, they're the team to beat every year in the Coastal.
We asked about some potential matchups in the SEC, but for one team going into this first week, what team should be worried the most?
In the SEC, you know, this is the cliched answer that I talked about, but probably Auburn. I'm going to go Florida. Because I've everyone talking Kentucky, Auburn. I'm going to say Florida. I like Florida. I just think that, and I think that number's too high, and I like Ole Miss's running game. You know, they put up 250 yards running on Alabama last year. They didn't throw for much, and Florida's a very good defensive team. Got a good defensive line, some reinforcements there. But I wouldn't be shocked if Ole Miss plays really well and makes Florida sweat on Saturday.
He is Mitch Light. He's one of the college football editors at The Athletic. Mitch, appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
College football, a big weekend with the SEC returning. We will come back, wrap up the show next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Allison Chains bringing us back from the break. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks again this week. We want you playing along with us. We'll make our picks on Thursday at noon. Remember, you, just like every year, get three picks, you the listeners. But this year there's a twist. We've got the NFL games as well. So it's any combination of college or NFL that you what you like. And so this week's winner will receive a Tin Roof gift card. You can just go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and make your picks today. Speaking of that,
a couple people are going to be feeling good come Thursday.
Yeah, could be. Could be the case.
Just saying.
Pete Thamel, sources say the game between Wake Forest and Notre Dame could be postponed. In fact, it's expected to be postponed. An announcement sometime this afternoon. So keep that in mind. As well. That's too bad. So Notre Dame looked really good on Saturday.
Now coming up towards 20 games that have had to be rescheduled. And at a certain point, it's going to get harder and harder to do that, right, the later you go. The good thing is early in the season, you might have some more common bye weeks that you could swing back and make it up possibly. But I think we're working towards the reality of there might be some teams that end up playing different amount of games, right?
Well, it's that's the inevitable. Big Ten. They've got no room. There's no margin for error at all, which I think is going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
because we've seen postponements every week since college football has come back, and yet the Big Ten has got no wiggle room at all. Their schedule in late October is for them to start and finish on this date with no off weeks. Every week you play until, what is it, the third week of December? Is that right? Something like that? And so how's that going to work? There's no proof right now that college football has been able to escape a week without postponements or cancellations.
Do we think that there is a point or a conversation that's been had that the college football playoff, you know, they might look at, all right, do we have alternative dates if they got to move that? I mean, because
I think honestly they need to.
Yeah, because at some point, I know the Big Ten, they put themselves in this position, but at some point you are going to have to look at everybody that's playing and all these games that are going to be moved and go, okay, we knew this could happen, so maybe we have to have some contingency plans with what we want to do, whether it's the announcement date or moving the games themselves, all of that. I think that's going to have to be a conversation if it hasn't been already.
Here's the news from Notre Dame. They have released that the game has been postponed. Each team does have an open date October the 3rd, but here's the issue, it comes from Notre Dame. 94 COVID tests were administered to Notre Dame football student athletes on Monday. There were 7 positive tests. The 7 kids are in isolation. Their close contacts have been identified, and so now they're going through the tracing part. So they have decided to pause all football-related activities until further testing is completed. Combined with last week's testing results, of course, they had an easy win over South Florida. They have a total of 13 players currently in isolation, 10 in quarantine. So they're going to try to reschedule the game.
Well, it's an ACC game, so I guess they're going to have to.
Well, I mean, obviously they'll try. It seems logical that if you could turn it around and play October the 3rd, with each team off, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But so that's basically you push it back a week, right? And you hope for better results. But these are the challenges, right? This won't be the last one.
This may be a dumb question. What's the difference in isolation and quarantine? I mean, does quarantine mean you can be around people?
No, I think quarantine is next level. Like, can't go anywhere.
Okay, so what's isolation?
Isolation, good question. I don't know.
Aren't they the same?
I don't know. Maybe isolation.
Sounds like it to me. But...
Maybe isolation, you can move around as long as you stay isolated. In other words, not with anybody else.
Quarantine, you're frozen?
Quarantine, you got to stay in your room, I think. Quarantine is you're in your room, you don't come out of your room. That's how I interpret it. Because isolation may be you're waiting to have the results of a test because you've been near somebody that has the virus or tested positive, and you're waiting for more. But I'm just guessing there. There has to be a difference, right? Or else they wouldn't.
I don't know.
Put that out there.
Sounds like you described a holding cell and an actual prison cell.
If you're quarantined, people bring you your food and you're sick or you can't be near anybody. You have it and you cannot be near anybody. Isolation might mean, we're not sure, but until we know, don't go near anybody, but you're still free to move around a little bit. Just stay by yourself.
I'm confused. I don't understand why you brought that up, Chase. I'm more confused than before you brought it up.
Well,
sorry.
I don't know that I'm giving correct
information. That's how my brain works.
So.
Speaking of confusion, I don't know if you guys have seen this on Twitter, and I'm not surprised, but it seems like there's a lot of confusion on season ticket holders for the Titans because they seem very frustrated today. I was just reading a tweet from Ken Paulson, who is a founding season ticket holder. He said, "The Titans season ticket holder sale today was a train wreck. I endured an hour of the site crashing before I got to the point where I could place my order and then check out when it froze. Luckily, I'm a founding season ticket holder, so I was able to get angry earlier in the day. Still no tickets."
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We kind of expect, look, 7,000 tickets or up to close to 7,000. I kind of sense this was coming. Unfortunately,
of course. This is what comes with the territory. If you're going to have fans in the stands, you're going to have to choose your operational strategy on.
Well, they've already done that. That's not even in play. Like, they've already done that. This is somebody who's been chosen, and they can't even get their tickets.
Well, you got a week and a half before the game. I would think by the time the game comes around, hopefully you have that sorted out.
Willie, people don't have all day to sit around and worry about, sites crashing and things being frozen. They'd like to go in there, buy their tickets, and move on with their day.
Yeah, but
this is not subscribing to a cable service. You'll get your tickets between 9 and 5 p.m.
I want to know if other teams.
This is new territory. It's never been done before. You got to give them a little chance to work out the system, I would say.
Yeah, but even when things are normal, they don't always get it right.
Come on. We've been down this road before. It's disappointing. And I've seen more than just that. It's disappointing.
Yeah. All I can do is laugh. I'm sorry. That's just all I can do.
I got a text from a buddy of mine who's had season tickets since day one, and he said his window to buy tickets doesn't even start till tomorrow. And he's had double-digit season tickets since day one, and he's not even allowed to buy them until tomorrow. Like I said, I'm not totally envious of this. You're not going to make everybody happy, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about making everybody happy. I'm talking about when it's time, you've chosen the people who can buy tickets. You got to have stuff ready, man. You can't have this stuff. We've been down this road before. This is the tweet. The season ticket holder sale today was a train wreck. I endured an hour of the site crashing before I got to the point where I could actually place my order, and then at checkout, it froze.
That is
life's tough, man. Life gives you challenges sometimes. This isn't
good.
But
I mean, that happens. I mean, I remember trying to buy, I forgot what concert it was there, but that happened. And I you know, that just that seems to be a running theme.
They need to get out of that.
We'll give them 24 hours.
They need to get out of that business. Nah,
the game is not this Sunday. The game is a week from Sunday.
That's not acceptable. That's not an acceptable answer. Nobody wants to hear that crap. That's crap. That's a crap answer. You got a week and a half. That's a crap answer. Handle your business and make sure people can go do their business with you. They're trying to spend their money with you. I mean, come on. All right, that'll do it for today's show. We had a lot. We covered a lot of ground. We plan on doing the same thing again tomorrow. You have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the weather. Be safe. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.